Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Preacher and the Teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson. Talk all things Boston sports with two radio legends. It's Munson on WEEI AM 850 and the radio.com app.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Look, I mean, I think that's quite a stretch.
Did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
He's a liar.
But the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Jim.
Houston, we have a problem.
Couldn't say it any better myself. Houston, we have a problem. Major League Baseball, we have a problem. A very lame and feeble, downright weak response by the Astros a couple days ago in spring training. And as Shaughnessy points out in the Globe, the Houston Astros have outflanked the New England Patriots as the most hated team in all of sports, Larry Johnson, and Thursday didn't help matters much at all.
Well, I think the owner's press conference was far more damaging than if he had not spoken at all. And I think for him to act like the team did not benefit from it and they deserve the championships that they have is just horrible. I think Major League Baseball and the commissioner took a giant step backwards. I would have stripped the team of their championships. I would have do they get rings? Don't they get rings as well?
Of course.
I would have taken the rings away. I really would have. I would have come down so hard. This is such an ugly, ugly incident for Major League Baseball, and I would have really come down hard. Like you said, next to the Black Sox, I would have really come down hard on this organization, and instead they didn't. They just tried to dodge it, and it'll go away. I think it affected the Red Sox, and I think Cora. For the life of me, I still do not understand what is taking them so long to clean this mess up and come off with some decisions, including the Red Sox, who dumped their manager a couple of weeks ago, and no explanation's really been given. I think it's an embarrassment for baseball. I really do. I think this is outrageous. And they really need to come down hard on the commissioner. I think he has been I had so much respect for him. He has embarrassed himself. And the Houston Astros will be the most hated team in all of sports. And not enough explanation is given for me.
You know, it seems like as the weeks go along and as this story continues to unfold, your anger gets deeper and deeper. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I think you were interested in the story and you had a couple of comments to make. Last week, maybe a little sharper comments, but maybe that news conference sent you over the cliff or something because you were a little bit angrier, a little bit more offended by what the Astros did this week than over the last several weeks. And we seem to have known what was going on there.
You know what it is, though? I think for those who are in charge, and particularly the commissioners, those are the guys who really are in charge of everything and oversee and dole out punishment, etc. Fans can put up with anything but treating me like I'm stupid. And I think that's the atrocity of all of this. that has really come to the forefront. And I think it just makes all of baseball, the fans, baseball's head spinning as it is. Instead of getting a shot in the arm for PR and boosting the game, et cetera, and so on, baseball should be embarrassed. And I think they may treat the fans like they're stupid. And I think for that reason, and to have the owner of the team come on and sound like this, it's just ludicrous. It is just absolutely ludicrous. And like I said, it is. I feel so strong about this and the way Major League Baseball has treated this. Yeah, I have changed my mind. I say let Clemens, Bonds, Pete Rose, let all of them in, because there is no standard by which this league operates.
So Bonds goes, Clemens goes, McGuire, Sosa. Because the Houston Astros cheated in one aspect of the game, cheaters in another aspect of the game suddenly get the door open for them at Cooperstown?
No, I think individual cheating, which is the steroid thing and what people have done to give themselves an advantage, and we all know what that is, that's certainly not justifiable by any means. But for a team, as on a whole, to just take the game over and operate behind a curtain and go on and win, I think is 10 times more damaging than Bonds or Clemens or any of these guys getting an advantage.
But you can make a case that Clemens helped the Yankees win a couple of World Series, at least got them to a World Series in 2001, didn't win, had a great game against Schilling in Game 7. But he was probably on the juice at that point when he won his Cy Young in 2001, probably on the juice that year as well with the Yankees. So, you know, individual success does translate to team success as well. So you can't just say that they were all out for individual glory. Yeah, maybe that was the initial motivation for them to take steroids and prolong their careers and amass numbers and ensure their place in the Hall of Fame. Of course, that blew up in their faces, but it did have an impact on team success as well.
It does have an impact, but I think for an individual enhancement, you're still going to go out and do it. And I think that that's, you know, I was opposed, you know, I was all along, lifetime ban, forget about it. But I think in this instance, when Major League Baseball can look at this controversy of sign stealing, et cetera, and just about ignore it. I mean, they fired a couple of people in management and stuff, but it's still, they didn't lay a glove on any of the players. It's like they're operating scared to death. I think just blows everything out the window. I really do. I don't know how you can watch an Astros game now and feel the same way about the team.
Well, all I know is that any time the Houston Astros step foot in another ballpark that isn't Minute Maid, it is going to be a boo fest. They are going to be subject of catcalls and boos and comments, and it is going to get ugly in a lot of places around Major League Baseball when the Houston Astros come to visit. It's going to be relentless.
But I think the commissioner should. Remember how the NHL fans used to boo Gary Bettman every place the guy went?
Sure.
The arenas and stuff. I think this is even worse. I really do. And this has gone on for so long. And the fact that holding the Red Sox hostage while they figure out what they want to do, to me, is just disgraceful.
Well,
I really do.
It appears as if the Red Sox aren't really being held hostage because
they got rid of their manager.
Well, Larry, you got to get this out of your head. Alex Cora was not fired for anything that happened in Boston. He was fired for being, quote, the mastermind behind the sign-stealing scandal in Houston. That's why he was fired by the Red Sox.
Do you know specifically what happened with that? No. And the reason why you don't is because they don't talk about it. You know, just open the doors up, lay everything on the table, and let everybody understand exactly what's going on and why people are losing their jobs, et cetera, and so on. When you do that and it becomes transparent, then at least you answer all the questions, then you turn the page, and you move on from there. And I think people would have been hurt by it or angry, but not to the degree like it is now.
So you
there's so many unfinished areas, Craig, that have never been discussed.
So you seem to be very intent on somehow finding exculpatory evidence for Alex Cora to keep his job. That you want him to remain in that Red Sox
until
dugout.
They can come up with definitive.
But it has
reasons.
Nothing to do with the Red Sox.
Well,
Larry.
I don't care who it has to do with.
Well,
do
wait a minute.
Do you know exactly what Cora did? Well, where did they spell it all out for you?
All right. My point is, if you're going to fire AJ Hinch or suspend him, you're going to fire Lou Now, the general manager. The other guy that was very much an integral, instrumental part of that scandal, orchestrating it all as the bench coach, you had to do something along those lines. You couldn't leave that hanging.
Okay. I'm not saying leave anything hanging. I'm saying lay it all out on the table so everybody understands exactly what went on and exactly what roles people played.
And in what planet are you from if you think that any sports team is going to be transparent?
I'm from the moon. Well,
that's not a planet.
And that's why they're going to get what they're going to get. And that's why people are going to respond the way they're responding.
Right. Did you get any transparency from the Patriots for Spygate or Deflategate? Absolutely not.
And that doesn't make it right.
Absolutely. It doesn't. All you get is obfuscation because that's
Belichick
what people do.
Belichick stands up like a damn fool.
Of course.
And he won't give any explanations, or he doesn't feel the need to give any explanations about anything. And we as fans are so stupid that we put up with it.
Right. And you think about it, people forget this. The Astros right now are the disgraced team that was using technology for sign stealing in 2017 when they won the World Series. But people forget they were three innings away from winning the World Series last year in game number 7. Imagine if they had won the World Series again just this past October. I think the outrage would be even more. It's at a very high level
at this
point.
I mean, who was it? Altuve, he's running around the bases, and his only concern is, oh, no, don't touch the shirt. Don't take the shirt off.
Well, that was after beating the Yankees in Game 6 with a game-winning home run off Chapman.
Well, what is that telling you?
It tells you that, you know, this rumor that a lot of people dismissed
as wiring or something.
Some buzzer.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is here, it doesn't matter what they were using, whether it be a garbage can or a buzzer. The fact is that Manfred did issue the decree in 2017, you can't use technology. Red Sox used it to a lesser extent than the Astros did. We'll find out when that report is released, probably at the end of next week.
Will that be by the All-Star break?
Which All-Star break? That's the question. The baseball All-Star break?
You don't sound angry about it at
all. No,
it's supposed to be America's favorite pastime. Well, what's that?
Since when is baseball? Yeah. It's been a long time.
What is that, cheating?
The national pastime is no longer the national pastime, as we know from ratings and fan interest and declining numbers, particularly with the lower demographics, younger demographics. People have turned away from baseball. Their TV numbers are down. Their numbers at the box office are down. And now, Larry, beyond just the Astros scandal, and that certainly occupied a lot of baseball fans' minds as teams report to spring training and get ready for the 2020 season, the other thing that actually makes me even more upset than the Astros, because I'm a little bit more cynical and jaded than you are about these things, they're all guys are looking for any edge possible, and as angry and as outraged and as offended and all of us are taking umbrage at the Astros, this too shall pass. But this thing that's looming in Major League Baseball for the 2022 season is a brand new playoff format. Have you been paying attention to this at all?
Not really. Explain it to us.
Okay, and it is a little complicated, and Joel Sherman had the story several days ago, and they're going to expand in 2 years. At least this is what they're thinking of doing. It hasn't been passed yet, and it has to go by the union and everything else. But they're in the formative stages of this. Right now, there are 5 teams in each league that makes the playoffs, the 3 division winners and the 2 wild cards. That was expanded from the original 1 wild card in 95 a few years ago. They're going to go to 7 playoff teams in each league, up from 5. The team with the best record in each league gets a first-round bye. Mm-hmm. Kind of like football. 2 division winners and the best wild card team hosts three best-of-three series against bottom three wildcard teams, and they get home field advantage in all those games. The division winner with the second-best record gets to pick a first-round opponent from three wildcards. And get this, the division winner with the third-best record gets to pick a first-round opponent afterwards. So in other words, the team with the second-best record that doesn't get the bye, they get to pick from the wildcard teams who they want to play. Can you imagine that? A team is going to actually select, do I want Tampa?
I want to play Oakland. I want to play Houston.
Or Cleveland. Which team do I want? And all of this is going to be on a reality TV show-like scenario.
You're going to be kidding.
On Sunday night after the season ends, in which the teams are going to select their playoff opponents. Mm. It's going to be like an NCAA selection show. Are you serious? I mean, one of the things baseball, I think, does have going for it is that the playoffs are sacred. It's not the NBA. It's not the National Hockey League, where half of the teams or close to half the teams in each of those leagues get to play in the postseason. 10 teams out of 30, one-third get in, five from each league. That's the way it should be. I don't even like the second wild card. I don't like that one-game play-in. I think it should be four teams. I would, if you were asking me, I'd go back to the old two divisions in each league. If you really wanted to go old school on this whole thing, I think this is just crazy. I think it's just convoluted. It's fabricated, contrived. You name it. And do you really think that if they play with this playoff format and make more teams viable in the last couple months of the regular season, are you going to attract new fans? Are you going to make the game more popular? Are you going to return this game to its former national pastime status? Do you think any of this is going to help?
I think if it's your particular team, then people would get excited if they have an opportunity that they didn't have otherwise.
Well, for instance, last year the Red Sox were, it was about maybe 5 to 10 games over 500. They were lurking around a wild card spot. They were out of the division fairly early. By midway through the season, wild card was going to be the Red Sox best hope for 2020 postseason. Did you really want that team to be a wild card contender? I mean, were they good enough really? Were they really a legitimate playoff team last year? You're going to include teams that are kind of mediocre, and you wonder if they really deserve a playoff bid. Again, one of the things I like about baseball, and believe me, they're not trying to reach me, is the fact that each of those playoff teams pretty much earned the spot. They're not backing into a spot. They're not playing 500 ball. I mean, you have to win. If you look at those wild card teams from last year, those wild card teams won in the mid-90s just to make a wild card spot. I think that is a legitimate playoff berth. I think when you expand to seven teams in each league, adding two more wild cards, and then this crazy selection format where you're getting byes and picking the team you want to play, to me that's absolutely absurd.
I think, again, call me crazy. Like you said, these new change formats, I don't know how well they're going to work, but I think baseball's overall strategy is to try to get people to forget about the cheating.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, just try to forget about
it. It's very convenient that suddenly we have the cure-all for all the problems that plague Major League Baseball. Pay no attention to those Houston Astros behind the curtain. Pay no attention to those Boston Red Sox behind the curtain, because we have the panacea for all that ails our sport. We're going to make a 7-team playoff format in each league. Wow.
How much influence do you think was put upon the Red Sox in terms of their season and the hitting and the like, because they had Cora?
I don't know what you mean.
In other words,
rephrase that question,
sir. How much did Cora
influence
the team using some of these tactics?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
None of us do. You're talking which team, Astros or Red Sox?
Who knows?
Yeah. We know he had a primary role. And again, we're always acting out of ignorance. I mean, that is our mantra here. Okay. The best I can glean from the various reports, the people I listen to, the alleged insiders, is he was intimately involved in Houston, probably took some of it to Boston. From what we understand, they didn't use garbage cans. They didn't quite, maybe didn't use it as elaborately as the Astros. The report that's supposed to come out next week will be far less harsh than the one that was handed down to the Astros. That's all we know. But I think, Larry, I keep on saying this, and you have to get this out of your head. Alex Cora is not working right now because of what he did in Houston. It has nothing at this point to do with his Red Sox tenure. And eventually, Alex Cora will get another chance. Eventually, A.J. Hinch will get another chance.
Were the Red Sox told that they need to get rid of him?
I don't know.
Or was this something they
did on
their own?
I mean, we just have this little AM show.
You should have been at the press conference because you don't know anything.
Well, hopefully, we'll be talking to people that are in on all this information. But we're going to be over on the FM side again as we were last week, 1 to 4 tomorrow. And I know you were tracking down Steve Buckley, who is in Florida, and he's going to be visiting with the commissioner, as many other reporters are tomorrow. He's going to be meeting with teams in Florida tomorrow, and I think later on in the week he'll be in Arizona, and he'll be talking about the punishments as far as the Astros are concerned, probably previewing what's going to happen with the Red Sox, talking about this new playoff format. So hopefully Buck will be available for us tomorrow, and maybe we'll finally get some answers.
You know, I used to always think in terms of when you're a major league athlete, be it any of the four sports, and like a younger guy comes up to you and he wants to know how you do certain things, or how do you throw this way, or just your skill level and how you arrive at some of the things that you do. And I often said that in today's competition, you really can't reveal as much stuff, even to a younger player, because people get traded all the time and waived and stuff. And then you go to another team. And then you can share this information with the other team. And, oh, I know how Brady does this. What he does is you got to look for him to go to his left. And it's like, and I think that's the same thing. I don't understand this cheating thing. It's so surprising to me. Because then when a team lets the player go or the manager go and he goes to another team, why couldn't he take some of this information with him? It's like you can't control it. It can't just go to one team and just stay there.
Well, that's the point. And one of the things that you should be very critical of Manfred is it looks as if he's trying to sell the public that somehow or another the Astros and to a lesser extent the Red Sox are the only two teams in Major League Baseball who are engaging in this nefarious activity, which you have to be, and this is what we were discussing last week, you have to be incredibly naive to believe that it was isolated in two teams.
That is bogus!
You got that right.
No, seriously, and I know you were, you know, your eyes were wide open. I can't believe this is happening in Major League Baseball.
Well, I don't accept it the way you do. I guess if that be the, I'm just saying, if that be the case, like, why would I bother watching the games, Craig? But why would I bother?
But you know that a professional athlete, again, this is territory we charted last week, will do anything he can to win a game, okay? No one is trying to win the Gene Herschel Humanitarian Award, which they handed out of the Academy Awards every year. They don't care about humanitarian awards. They care about winning and self-glory, and they'll do anything they can to do it. You know that, Larry. On a very gut level. And unfortunately, this is a new scandal. We began to understand and accept the steroids. Back in the 90s, we were outraged. As the years went along, time heals all wounds. We accepted it. You know, you go back, I'm sure that people 10 years after the Black Sox scandal, and I know that there was a lot of clamor back in the 80s and in the 90s as well, that Shoeless Joe Jackson should have been posthumously inducted in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the great left-handed hitters of his era in the dead ball era. a swing that Babe Ruth looked up to. Great, great player, forever banned from the Hall. Pete Rose, the same thing. But this is the new scandal. And the new scandal is the one that we take most umbrage with. Eventually, in 3 or 4 years, maybe a little bit longer, we'll look back and say, yeah, they were doing it. But a whole lot of other teams were doing it, too. They're the ones that suffered all the slings and arrows.
Well, I think that it is if what you say is true, and like I said, I don't know how you can keep something a secret. If you're a major league player or manager and you get released and you go to another
team.
Well,
I can tell you why. I can tell you why the secret. Well, I'm sure, and again, we're only operating from what we can judge based on all the information.
Which is very little.
So you can't say, what do you know? We don't know anything. We're doing the best we can to put the pieces together.
Nobody knows anything.
Right. And that's a great line from a great screenwriter, William Goldman, who wrote Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and the screenplay for All the President's Men and The Princess Bride. His classic line from a great book about screenwriting is, nobody knows anything. We don't know anything right now. And when we find out, maybe we'll get a better idea. But we have to at least assume, using common sense and logic, that Alex Cora probably did take some of the basic concepts of sign stealing from Houston to Boston. Would you at least admit that?
Oh, sure.
Of course. Okay. But I think you're trying to exonerate him somehow.
No, I'm not. No, okay. I think if you take a World Series champion manager and you get rid of them, I just think we're owed a better explanation than what we have right now.
All right. What did the Astros explain about A.J. Hinch's role in the whole thing?
Well, they really haven't.
No. And
see, that's my complaint. I'm saying they want you to pay for the parking. They want you to show up at the ball games and shut up about everything else. Just move on. And watch the great game.
And don't forget about this new and exciting, innovative playoff format.
Listen, do you know how much? You know it costs almost $2,000 to get a ticket for the All-Star game this weekend?
I think with the Kobe passing, I think this All-Star weekend takes on a greater significance.
The point that I'm making is you're good enough to buy a ticket to our presentation. But we don't feel we owe you any real explanation. And that's something that I feel, I think they were trying to do that with the impeachment hearings, that what happens is certain things occur in our society, and if they don't feel it's any of your business, then you just don't get to find out. And it's like, I don't care whether it's sports, politics, or gambling, or college entrance exams, or whatever it is. We as a society have a way of blocking people out from really knowing what's going on when it's convenient for us.
617-779-0850. You heard from us. We'd like to hear from you. We'll be here at 12 o'clock, as always, over on the AM side. Of course, if you are in areas where AM doesn't come in as well, we have that great radio.com app. Just get it on your smartphone. Go to the search bar, type in WEEI. There are several options there. We are 850 ESPN or something like that. It's something like ESPN 850 on WEEIAM. You'll see it. We are there. And don't forget, of course, we're going to be doing double duty, another Mustard and Johnson weekend doubleheader.
Action packed.
I'll tell you, showing our versatility, we can do it on AM and we can do it on FM.
We can even do it in the parking lot.
We've done it many times in the parking lot, as a matter of fact. Well, That'll be our next gig.
I beg your pardon.
That didn't come out too well.
It really did.
I think we need to take a break. Get your phone calls. Mustard and Johnson rolls on Sports Radio, WEEI, in or out of the parking lot.
Listen to the Greg Hill Show, weekday mornings 5:30 to 10 on 93.7 WEEI. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, according to a longtime NFL writer, Larry Fitzgerald Sr., who is the father of Larry Fitzgerald Jr., the Vegas Raiders are preparing to offer Tom Brady a 2-year deal worth $60 million. NBA All-Star Weekend started up last night in Chicago with the Rising Stars game. USC beat the world 151 to 131. Tonight's events include the Skills Challenge, three-point contest, and the main event, of course, the Slam Dunk Contest, all starting at 8. And the 69th All-Star Game will be held tomorrow night on TNT with yet another new format, which we'll get into in a little bit. Celtics off till next Friday because of the All-Star break, of course. They'll start a four-game road trip in Minnesota then. Bruins coming off a win on Wednesday night over the Canadiens will host the Red Wings today, puck dropping at the Garden at 1 o'clock. And that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me. Because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. I'm going crazy.
That was Cody Bellinger, yet another disgruntled Dodger, of course. They want to make the case, and they have been making it pretty loudly, that they should be given the 2017 World Series.
Well, nobody should have it.
Could you do that, though? Can you take the proverbial toothpaste and put it back in the tube?
What did they do with the Black Sox?
But you got to remember, Larry, see, this is what people forget. I know this was 101 years ago when that happened, and even you might not have been around for that series, but the Black Sox lost the series on purpose. They're not going to take it away from the Cincinnati Reds because they were unwitting dupes in a game that was being orchestrated by the Blackhawks, by the Black Sox.
Did Bobby Hull play in that
game? He did not play in that game. He came around a couple of years later. No, but people forget that. And when they're equating the Black Sox with the Astros, it's two very different things. The Black Sox, the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox, were upset at Charles Comiskey, who was a notorious skinflint. And Jersey Joe, Shoeless Joe.
He had a terrific left hand.
He was. Yeah. And he knocked out a couple of those umpires along the way. But you're enjoying this, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. So
told you, do not drink before the show. Yeah. I've told you that.
And I've never listened. Shoeless Joe and Eddie Seacott and Buck Weaver and all those players. You might have seen Eight Men Out, one of the great baseball movies of all time from
Uncle
the 1980s.
Buck.
What's that?
Was that Uncle Buck?
No, that was Buck Weaver.
Okay.
A great movie if you've never seen it, Eight Men Out. And
the game was better back then.
Oh, back in the dead ball era. You're right, James Earl Jones. Things were good, Ray, back then. Very good.
Which guy did they have hitting from the wrong side?
Well, here's my, and it's funny. A friend of mine was talking about his favorite movies, and he has Field of Dreams, like number 5. And I said, not just sports movies, but all time. And I said, how can you endorse a movie where they have Ray Liotta, of course, we know him, Henry Hill and Goodfellas. He plays Shoeless Joe Jackson. And they have him batting from the right side. He had the sweetest left-handed swing in the dead ball era. And as I mentioned earlier, Babe Ruth actually emulated his style. When Babe Ruth was a kid growing up, he wanted to swing the bat from the left side exactly like Shoeless Joe. And then even worse, They had Leota, who's left-handed, batting right. Shoeless Joe was a right-hander who batted left. That bothered me. I'm sorry.
There was never an explanation given for that.
Here's my problem. I accepted them coming out of the cornfield as ghosts, but I would not accept Joe Jackson batting from the right side once he got onto the baseball field. Anyway.
Well, the game was better back then, though.
It was better. Very good, Ray. And Buck's the guy that pointed that out years ago, that when James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams waxes nostalgic about the way the game used to be, he was talking about a game that blacks were not allowed to play. And, of course, we know that James Earl Jones is an African-American. So there's a little bit of an irony to that movie, which, to my mind, is vastly overrated. So where were we? The point is, the White Sox cheated in the opposite direction. They wanted to lose because they were on the take, because in those days you didn't make a whole lot of money, and Comiskey, there was no union then, of course, and it was all the reserve clause where you were owned by the team, essentially. It was a extended plantation from the Civil War, and even though there were only white players, and they were just trying to make as much money as they could. The Astros, meanwhile, their motive wasn't greed. It was simply to win. So which is worse?
Was Nolan Ryan still attached to the Astros in any way?
No.
No, okay.
No.
I get it mixed up. I know he was with the Rangers, but...
No, I don't believe he is. He wasn't there. I don't think he was there in 2017. Why do you ask?
Well, as a pitcher. That's why I would try to get Schilling on, because as a pit, he had a family emergency. That's why he had to duck out on us, but... As a pitcher, I would be just dying to know, you know, as a top-flight pitcher, how he would feel about that.
Well, do you think it's a coincidence that the whistleblower was a pitcher, Mike Fiers?
Mm.
Of course, some people say he was a coward. It was easy to blow the whistle when he went to another team, no longer with the Astros.
Well, what else can you? What are you going to do? Sit in the clubhouse and be the only one in there shooting your mouth off?
And this is kind of interesting. Joe, do you have Verlander racked up back in the other studio where he claims he knew something was going on and he wanted to act upon it, but he really didn't know how to do it? Do you have that, Joe? Yeah, because Verlander, and that's a perfect example of if you're a pitcher and you know what's going on, because you're not benefiting from it, obviously.
You're a top-flight pitcher.
Right. Now, you're benefiting it because you're going to get run support.
Right.
But statistically, you're not benefiting from it. Certainly, the team wins.
Doesn't that transcend your personal involvement with your team when you know out and out that the people are cheating and it's affecting the other pitcher?
Yeah. Joe, it's number 12. You could play number 12 for us. So Verlander, you know, this is this news conference that didn't help the Astros cause very much at all. I'm sure they were trying to paint as nice a face to the public as they could, and they were hoping that it would all go away. But this is Verlander kind of assessing his role or lack thereof during that cheating scandal.
Showing up in 2017, and once I spent some time there, understood what was happening. I wish I had said more. Looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I had said more, and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
What did you say?
That's between myself and my teammates. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so there you go with the transparency problem again. Now, remember, he was traded in the middle of the year in 2017, and he's really what put them over the top when he went from Detroit to Houston. So maybe I'll give him a little bit of a break. He's a newcomer, hasn't established himself yet at that point. So maybe that's a difference. I don't know.
Well, it's easy to say what you would do, but there's a whole different influence when you're in there with all your teammates and trusting guys and loving guys, and you're together all the time, and now all of a sudden you decide you're going to come out and blow the whistle.
It is very difficult to do, and the Red Sox, in a way, I kind of wish the Red Sox, and I know it's easy for me to say I'm a Yankee fan, and Red Sox fans are circling the wagons, and they seem to be very reassured that the Red Sox, of course, would never engage in the kind of activities that the Yankees or the Astros or any other team would, because we're the Red Sox and they're wearing the right laundry and everything else.
Well, we know one thing. Stanton certainly wasn't getting any signals about what pitch was coming. We know that.
No. But they had the Apple Watch kerfuffle back in 2017 as well, and Major League Baseball stepped in. But my point is, we are all outraged right now, and it's easy to be outraged when it involves another team. But if it entails your team...
That's not true.
Okay? I wonder...
That's not true.
You don't think so?
No, I would be just as outraged. I'm sick. This last incident with the Patriots and somebody down there with a camera with the Cincinnati practice or something, I'm sick of the whole thing. I don't excuse Belichick for any of this foolishness. I don't care if it's my team or not. I don't like it. Cheating is cheating, and you're trying to get an unfair advantage. And I still think Belichick's feet have never been held to the fire. So I don't care if it's my team or not my team. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
Right. And right now, pretty much the baseball and the sporting world agrees that what the Astros did was wrong. You might not have thought about how sign stealing can be advantageous, but you know now.
And I'm saying, is that the only team that was really affected by this?
Of course not. We know
Red
that.
Red Sox mildly, maybe. See, but no other teams.
No, we're not naive to think that, as I said earlier, this is not isolated to simply the Astros and the Red Sox. I'm fascinated to see, and I wish they get that report out. I just want to see what the Red Sox did do and how it does compare and contrast to what the Astros were up to. And I want to know, and this is the other thing we're never going to find out, and these are the questions that are going to continue to plague the Astros for as long as this particular group of players is together. Did they do it beyond 2017? And someone mentioned, you think about Chapman. Cody Bellinger mentioned that in his comment. Chapman threw a changeup after a 101-mile-an-hour fastball late in that game six. I think it was the ninth. It might have been the 10th. And Altuve nailed it. It was his signature moment as a major league player. And this is, he won the AL MVP the year they won the World Series, but that was his signature moment, that great walk-off in game six. You know, when you get thrown a 101-mile-an-hour fastball on one pitch and then just completely nail the next pitch, you think he might have had an idea it was coming?
I think so.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
And he's rounding the bases, and the only thing he's concerned about is, don't take my shirt off.
Getting rid of that buzzer very quickly, so let's not be naive. And this stuff is going to linger for a while. This too shall pass eventually, somewhere down the line. But it ain't going away.
All I'm saying is I don't want it to pass too quickly because I think the whole thing has been handled poorly.
All right. So what do you want to say before we get to the phones?
I want to see if any trophies given or anything. I want those taken away.
It's never going to happen.
Well, Craig, you know, that's your opinion. I'm saying you asked me.
It's all opinions.
I know, but you asked me what would I do, and I'm telling you.
Okay. Here's my opinion.
A smack on the wrist is not my way of doing it.
This is not an opinion.
If there's a major story...
It is a major story. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
We've been talking about it for 45 minutes. I hope it's a major story.
Then the commissioner should treat it like it's a major story.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I wonder if you could ever vacate a title. They do it in NCAA basketball. Your boy Calipari has had a couple of titles and appearances taken away from him for untoward activity and recruiting
things. It's funny because I visited that arena.
In Memphis. I heard it's really nice. That is the worst inside joke, and no one has any idea what you're talking about.
I'm sorry. We'll go to the phones.
So you don't want to talk about it? You want to reveal why?
Go ahead. No, you won't. Leave my boy Calipari alone.
We will not reveal that. 617.
Talk about Patino.
779-0850 is the telephone number. John in Malden, our buddy, kicks us off
fine
Saturday. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Cashman has said it had a distinct advantage. in the series against the Astros. Okay, as far now, which as everyone
which
else
series? Now, which series? 17 or last year?
I believe it was last year.
Okay.
I mean, you know, with I mean, don't forget, in I believe it was Game 6, the Yankees were down 4-2 in the ninth and hit a two-run homer, LeMahieu, to tie that game up.
I watched it. I remember.
Right. So these little things are what put teams over the top when series and games are this close. You know, I mean, if it's 4-4 in Game 6 and it could possibly be a Game 7, I mean, you never know what can happen. So you get a little buzzer under your shirt and you know what pitch is coming and you can eliminate the Yankees. I mean, that's what these little things can do for you.
Can you explain this to me, though?
Between winning and losing.
Right. Can you explain this to me? How did the buzzer actually work? I kind of get the garbage cans and I sort of understand the videotaping, but how did the buzzer do it?
Do you get one buzz for fastball?
I guess that's what it is. You just get buzzed?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. That's what they do in casinos. When guys would cheating at the blackjack table.
Okay, now there's something that you're an expert on.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, just what I've read, you know. But I mean,
I have a friend.
I know someone that knows someone. Right. That, you know, they had a buzzer, you know, under their leg or whatever in their ankle, and you'd get so many buzzes, and you would know whether to hit stand or double or two, whatever, and it's you work out a little system. That's what it is. It's how everybody. Wait, Craig, let me ask you a question. Was Ron Jaworski in the Super Bowl? He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played against the Raiders when Plunkett's first Super Bowl. Yep.
Okay, because I may have this story wrong, but I saw him on ESPN, I don't know, 10 years ago. I don't know what happened to him. He just disappeared.
Well, they took him off Monday Night Football, which is a big mistake, and they buried him somewhere in the middle of the day. I haven't seen him in at least two or three years.
He was good on there, and he just disappeared. But this was back during the Patriots stuff, and he said, oh, yeah. He goes, he's sitting there with Steve Young. He goes, we were in the Super Bowl. He goes, and basically they had stolen the other team's signals or whatever, and we knew when the blitz was coming. And he goes, when the blitz was to come, our team was to throw a red flag on the ground, and I would know. And the first half went by, and nothing happened. The third quarter, he goes, there's the red flag. I throw the ball in the end zone. Touchdown. This is during the Super Bowl.
Well, wait a minute. Jaworski got crushed in that Super Bowl appearance in January of 1981.
Well, I didn't say he won the game.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what he said, you know.
It didn't work for him. I'll just say that. Right.
Yeah. So he said, we got the red flag. We threw the ball, touchdown. And they show Steve Young's face. And Steve Young's like, you've got to be kidding me. And Ron Jaworski was like, no, whatever you got to do to win.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was his attitude. And Steve Young couldn't, but they were completely
Steve Young is a Mormon. He's a man of principle and morals and a little naive. But we all know most of them are like Jaworski. They don't care about altruism.
He didn't care.
Right.
Nope. It was all about winning. Now, as far as the Red Sox go, I don't know. Listen, Craig, you said people would rather be Red Sox fans than Yankee fans. They got four World Series this century to one to the Yankees. But that's easy to say after when you look back from history. How about right now when you're going into a 162-game, six-month season, and you've got to dedicate yourself to the team after they just came in maybe last place, or now their manager's gone, and they're giving away their best player, and you don't have too much to look forward to. I mean, I know you said this was Dan Duquette saying more games in first place, but Yankees have had like 28 consecutive winning seasons.
John,
so I'm going in with expectations, and I got hopeful we might not win again.
I would say this, John, I understand what you're saying. I would say that the Red Sox have had more highs than the Yankees have in the 21st century, okay, where the Yankees have been a little steadier. They had their playoff drought in the early teens where they didn't go to the playoffs for several years. But generally, the Yankees have been more steady as far as playoff appearances, where the Red Sox have had last place finishes and two or three years where they weren't in the playoffs. But their highs have been definitely higher than the Yankees' highs. That's all.
Okay, but all right, and that's fine.
Right.
But you have to take this along with it. if that's your philosophy. If you say, listen, I'd rather be a Red Sox fan, then you're going to have to take what comes along with it, which is the ticket prices are raised this year, so pay more money. They're giving away their players, and you're going to have to sit through this for 6 months. So they're gonna lose this division by 15 games easily. You know, last week you said the Red Sox, they're going to win more games than last year. So they're going to win like 84 to 108.
No, I didn't say that. I think they're going to win somewhere in the high 80s, low 90s.
Really?
I don't think they're as bad as people think they're going to be.
No, they're not, Craig. They're going to be lucky to hit 90 wins. Their pitching stinks. They got rid of Porcello.
Yeah,
they got rid of Price.
Yeah, but they
Chris
got a
Sale is broken down.
Okay, Vivaldi but they got a closer.
Who? Workman? Who?
Brandon Workman established himself last year as the closer. He had a good second half of the year.
Oh, please.
No, I'm not, hey, John, pitcher. I'm not saying they're challenging the Yankees for the division. You're right. They're probably going to be like they were last year. They were 19 games out when all was said and done. They're not going to challenge the division, but they're not going to be as bad as they were last year. That's a pretty safe bet, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. Hey, John, quick question. What do you think of A-Rod kicking the tires with the Mets?
I didn't even hear the story.
Yeah.
So I can't even comment on it.
Contemplating buying the Mets.
Yeah, there's a real good idea. You fire Carlos Beltran for being involved in cheating, but you'd consider actually getting into bed with Alex Rodriguez in the ownership
front. One more quick thing, Craig. One more quick thing. If they expand the playoff format, that will help the teams like Oakland and Tampa Bay, and it will hurt the teams that want to pay for the Mookie Betts of the world, because the more teams that get in, it's going to be less chances for the Yankees and these other teams. Because in baseball, you can get in. If you can get in, you can disrupt the higher teams. So if they expand the format, look for more
What you're saying is that you're degrading the regular season. That's what you're doing. You're watering it down. That's basically what you're doing. That's another way of saying you're watering it down. Because
I agree.
And the thing, and I said this, thanks for the call, John, the thing that distinguishes baseball from the NBA and the NHL is, the regular season does matter. If you lose a 4 or 5-game series to the Yankees or vice versa, that could have major implications on your playoff potential. It means something when you lose a game. That Celtic game the other night, that Thursday night game against the Clippers, fantastic game, best game of the regular season so far, has absolutely zippo impact on anything that's going to happen when the playoffs begin in April. It has nothing to do with anything, but a big, big Red Sox-Yankee series can have major repercussions if one team dominates. We've seen that over and over on both sides. Team that wins 4 or 5, like a 3 or 4 games in a 4-game series, or a 4 and a 5, or sometimes a sweep, that team will go on to the postseason, and the other team is left in the dust. Regular season should matter, don't you? Don't you agree with that?
Oh yeah, of course it should. Yeah. Or why bother playing the games?
Right. And the problem I have with the NBA is, do you know, if I asked you who are the teams right now in the Eastern Conference hovering in that 6, 7, 8 playoff spots, would you know who they were? Would you care who they are?
No,
you wouldn't care. In baseball, you know who the legitimate playoff teams are, and regular season games do matter. Are they way too long? Yes. Are they slow at times? Do they change pitchers too much? Well, they're addressing that this year with the 3 batter minimum. I do.
Yeah.
Anything to speed it along. That's what I look at. 617-779-7. Actually, it's 617-779-0850. I'm preparing for my show tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I'm going to make that long. For me, it is a long trek from this studio over to the studio.
What time is your show tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have a show between 1 and 4 on FM. So I'm practicing that number and trying to work out this number. My skills do not translate, unfortunately, from AM to FM. That number is 617-779-0850. Do you agree with Larry Johnson? Should we take that title away from those cheating Stros?
You don't seem to be that upset about it.
I am upset about it.
No, you're not.
Would you mind speaking to the microphone? I'm much more upset about that. For some reason, you want to speak it from the other room.
That's right.
Okay. I'm just...
I'd love to talk to some Houston fans. We should.
We're big down in Houston on this AM signal.
I'm serious. I think if they have... have any integrity at all, they should be just as upset.
Well, how are we going to find
who
any Astros fans?
Who wants to win
fans?
That way?
Are we going? Is there an Astros fan who happens to be listening to this program right now?
Call a sports bar.
Okay. Larry Johnson is appealing to all those Astros fans out there. Where are all the Astros fans? Why don't you stand up for your team at 617-779-0850?
No, don't stand up for them.
0850. But you know what? When the Red Sox report comes out on what they were doing, that will happen next week, I will be interested to see how fans reacted. I know in the initial reports, remember this is about 3 or 4 weeks ago, people were very upset at Cora. They were very upset at the Red Sox, but I think it was easier to be upset about the Red Sox because they had a bad year last year. They were not the team, obviously, that won the World Series the year before.
Don't forget, there are two different fan bases.
Yeah, the ones that show up at the ballpark and the ones that call this radio station, no question. All right, 617-779-0850. More of your calls coming up. We'll be chatting with our friend Karen Garigian in the 11 o'clock hour, tracking the latest on Brady. All of that happening with Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio 850 AM, WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,